stand and sing with us, "To God Be the Glory."
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.
Sing praises to the Lord this morning. And as we just sang, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. It's such a wonderful truth that we can proclaim this morning that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, that He is ours forevermore. Beck and I would like to share with you a newer song, Christ is Mine Forevermore, this morning. I invite you to sing along. The words will be on the screen. And it's such a great truth that even in this life, that as we go through trials and experience difficulties, that Christ is there beside us. And then as we transition from this life to the next, He is our reward, is He not? Because He is ours forevermore.
Days that God has numbered, I was made to walk with Him. Yet I look for worldly treasure and forsake the King of Kings. But mine is hope in my Redeemer, though I fall. His love is sure, for Christ has paid for every failing. I am His forevermore. Mine are tears in times of sorrow, darkness not yet understood. Through the valley I must travel, where I see no earthly good. But mine is peace that flows from heaven, and the strength in times of need. I know my pain will not be wasted. Christ completes His work in me. Mine are days here as a stranger, pilgrim on a narrow way. One with Christ I for His name. But mine is armor for this battle, strong enough to last the war. And He has said He will deliver safely to the golden shore. And mine are keys to Zion City, beside the King I walk. For there my heart has found its treasure. Christ is mine forevermore. faints now, O my soul, for his love is my reward. Fear is gone and hope is sure. Christ is mine forevermore. Come rejoice now, O my soul, for his love is King I walk, for there my heart has found its treasure. Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore.
It was then that they questioned him. Lord, when did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or naked and clothe you? Did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Remember, when you do it for them, you do it for me.
Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you this morning. I count it as such a privilege. and an honor to fill this pulpit. Pastor Chris, I just want to say thank you again for letting me be here with you and to be here in the wintry weather that we get like what once in, you know, every 5 years or 10 years or whatever it is. Sincerely, thank you. And on behalf of Arkansas Baptist Children's Homes and Family Ministries, I send you greetings. Today, I am here not just by myself. I have my best friend, my wife. She's with me. This is Lori. And our son Moses is here as well. He's wearing a mask. Good for you, Mo. And then we also brought along three of our amazing staff members. This is Megan, Kim, and Mary Beth. And I'll talk a little bit more about them and what they do in just a little bit. But I am so glad to be here because we get to share with you our vision. Our vision is very simple. It's to build, strengthen, and restore Arkansas families for God's glory. That's what Arkansas Baptist Children's Homes and Family Ministries is about. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to give us some goals, all right? Some goals for all of us in here. If you take notes, then this would be good for you to write down. Number one, I am going to talk at some point about the crisis of foster care in Arkansas. It's very real. The video you have seen here is actually outdated. The number was incorrect. That number has increased since this video was made. But I'll talk about that. I'll talk about where we are in that and what we as Baptists can do about that, what we as Christians can do about that. Number two, I hope to simply teach you the Bible. I want to teach you just simple scriptures this morning, simple points that I believe God has for us. And number three, and most important, more than anything, as these songs you just sang professed, I want you to know, I sincerely want you to know, whether you're in person, you're watching online, I want you to know and experience God's love for you. That's it. Those three goals. Foster care crisis, teach the Bible, and talk about knowing and experiencing God's love for you. So if we were going to put a title on this thing this morning, this is what I would call it. Love, colon, more than just a four-letter word. Love is this crazy, cosmic, huge, overused, abused word, right? I mean, we have people saying they love things all the time, right? I can say I love Chick-fil-A, which could be true, but what do I mean when I say I love Chick-fil-A? My own wife said this morning on the way here that she loved stopping at rest stops when she used to travel as a kid. I'd have never loved those things, but some people might, all right? Some people love the Razorbacks. Some people love Arkansas Tech. Some people love your pastor. Some people love their family. What do we mean when we say we love? It's more than just a four-letter word. And if I was to give you not just a title, but sort of a big idea, if you want the sermon in one sentence this morning, let me give it to you, all right? Here it is. Not everyone is called to foster, because I'm going to talk about foster care. Not everyone is called to foster, but every Christian is called to love. We understand, not everyone is going to be able to open their home and take kids in. We get that. I'm not here to pressure you to do that or guilt you in that way. I've been where you have been. That's not what this is about. But what this is about is explaining and remembering that every Christian is called to love. Listen to the words of 1 John 4:10. 1 John 4:10, just listen to the words, not even breaking it down. Just read it for what it is. This is love. Okay? Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And I want you to really circle, highlight, underline that phrase. But that He. But that He. He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, that word propitiation means satisfaction for our sins. Meaning, God did something that we couldn't do. And in doing something we couldn't do, He showed how much He loved us. You know, a week ago, think about this, we were all anticipating Snowmageddon, right? Were we not? I mean, our local Walmart had no toilet paper. I mean, everybody was buying it up. It's not just that it's COVID, it's that now it's Snowmageddon, so all the toilet paper's gone, all the milk's gone, all the mac and cheese, all the double stuffed Oreos are gone, completely gone. What are we supposed to do? We're anticipating this. But we did it in such a like encouraging, like happy way, excited way, right? Like we were all excited. We're like, I love snow. I love snow. I want to see this snow. I saw so many posts on social media, people buzzing about the snow. And then what happened? It actually snowed, and we find ourselves 2 days later saying, I hate this. I wish it was gone. I'm over it, right? Just go away, snow. Well, what happened to you loving snow? The answer is you don't really love snow. You might desire snow for a time, but you don't really love it. The Bible talks about five different kinds of love. You could read more about this from an author named C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book called Four Loves, and I'm going to add a fifth. The Bible talks about an eros kind of love. Greek word eros for intimate love, passionate love, okay? The love that's experienced within marriage, okay? Then you have what is known as storge love, which is that motherly love, that parental kind of love, right? Like, you love me, don't you? That kind of thing. So I often play that card with Moses. I'm like, you do love me, right? You need to love me because I love you. Then there's the third kind of love. There's phileo love. You might have heard of that. The city of brotherly love is Philadelphia. It is that friendly kind of love, that love that is exchanged conditionally. You hang out with me, I'll hang out with you. Hey, I want to go eat chips and salsa. You want to come with me, right? Friendly kind of love. Then sadly, there is a fourth kind of love, and this is the kind of love that those three ladies over there and I deal with on a weekly basis. This is not really love at all. This is abusive love. And in the Bible, it's a Greek word for pligma, which is abuse. Some people say that they love people. Some people say that they love their children. And then they abuse them. Or they neglect them. Or they mistreat them. These three ladies over here have seen that kind of non-love, right? I've gotten the calls when Children's Hospital is looking for someone to take this baby who was slung across the room at 8 weeks old in a full body cast. And the whole time, a parent is saying, I love that kid. We're not talking about that kind of love. What I want to share with you this morning, I want to share with you that fifth kind of love. This is the kind of love you might have heard if you grew up in Sunday school. It's the kind of love, if you paid attention to church and you had a decent pastor who taught you the Bible, he would have taught you this five-letter word, agape. A-G-A-P-E, agape. This agape kind of love. That's the kind of love we're talking about today. That's the kind of love in 1 John 4:10. That's the kind of love we're talking about because it's God kind of love. It is that unconditional, unemotion-based love that moves someone like God to love someone like me and you when he didn't have to. To do something no one else was willing to do. That's the kind of love we're talking about. So if you have a Bible, I invite you, turn into it with all that you are. 1 John chapter 3. We just read out of 1 John 4. We're going to camp out at John, 1 John chapter 3 in just a couple of verses. Starting in verse 16. That's where we're going this morning. Hopefully to teach you the Bible. What's going on with this guy, John? I think this is important for us to know. This apostle John walked with Jesus. He was known as the disciple that Jesus loved. Like, they had a super close relationship. And he was trying to figure out what it meant to really be a Christian, even though he didn't call himself that, a follower of the way. What does it mean to follow Jesus? He's figuring this out. And so he writes this book, John, right? The Gospel of John. He writes it, and at the very end, you can go and read it, he explains why he wrote it. He wrote it because he wanted people to believe. He wanted people to believe these things, that they were so. That this Jesus really is the Christ, this Jesus who this Bible talks about, this church sings about, this Jesus really is God. And then he comes back later and he writes some letters. And one of them is 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 1 John is known as kind of like not a letter to a particular person, but more of like a sermon pamphlet, if you will. It's like a traveling document that would kind of get passed around, and that the early churches would kind of read over it, or they might have John come in, or Peter, or James, or some of the guys, they might come in, and they would read these documents, they would share, believing that God had actually inspired these men with the Holy Spirit to write these things down. So here we are in 1 John. What is the big idea in 1 John? Well, if you go to chapter 5, he tells us again. That's just kind of his writing style. He tells us again why he wrote it. He wrote this not so that you would believe. He wrote this so that you know what you believe. He wrote it so you would know what are the effects. What is the result? What is the lifestyle of someone who believes what the Gospel of John, things like John 3:16, were telling us. Does that make sense? So one is teaching us to believe. That's the Gospel of John. One is telling us that we can know that we believe. And part of knowing what we can believe, he makes this statement in 1 John 3:16. And I'm going to read it because it's interesting to me how it links both 1 John and John. So, chapter 3, verse 16. By this we know love. Again, agape. Because he, meaning Jesus, laid down his life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Huh. So John is making statements about love over and over again. There's a quote by this great theologian, Paul David Tripp. He says, the theology you believe is the theology you will live. It's descriptive, is what he's saying. Like, there's no getting around it. What you sincerely believe on the inside, when no one else is around, is what you'll live out. So if you want to get honest about your life, if you want to get honest about, you know, what you're going to spend your time and your money, your resources on, your time, talents, and treasure, then you have to be honest about what you believe. So, for example, if you say that, well, I support, you know, orphan care, I support foster care and adoption, do you believe that that might require you to do something? Have we stopped to consider what we believe? Because it will have lasting effects on how we live. Caring for life outside of the womb is just as important as caring for life on the inside of the womb. So you have John, this apostle, this author, seeming to have dealt with this himself. You can almost kind of feel it, right? You can kind of feel like, man, he's working through this. He's seen different kinds of love that are out there in Greek culture, in Roman culture, trying to figure things out, and he's working this out in his mind and in his heart. And he shares this with us. He shares it because he's going to challenge what it really means to love. And I think what he figures out and he's teaching us is you will inevitably overflow out of what's in your heart and what's in your mind. I know that some of you probably sincerely love the Arkansas Razorbacks. And the reason probably I could say that is if I talked to you, you could tell me who the coach is, who the top players are. You could probably tell me about some recent victory we actually had this year. We could talk about traditions. You know these things. You have a history of these things. So I know that you care about them, and perhaps even you might be even crazy. You might have even donated to the Arkansas Razorback Foundation. If you say you care about, I don't know, orphans, you know how many kids are in foster care in the state? Do you know what your cooperative program dollars go to support? I mean, I'm here to admit, I'm here to be as honest as I can be. I have met with many pastors in the last year, and many of them think that our ministry is a large home in Monticello. And I'm here to tell you, that is only touching a blip of what we do. Currently, we are impacting the lives of almost 120 children in foster care. We have around 50 to 60 families across the state that are taking care of kids. And last count, we had another 37 in the pipeline to open up as foster homes. We are actually one of a handful of private foster care agencies that your cooperative program dollars are going to support. But not only that, it's not just about connected foster care. There's something out there called Living Well Counseling. Mental health's a really big deal. Well, Arkansas Baptists are in the counseling game. Over 20 counselors across the state helping people. Not just that, you might know a single mom. She needs to get back on her feet. Did you know that we have 3 to 4 single mom homes across the state to help moms get back on their feet? So what we care about, what we spend our time on, our talent, our treasure, is really going to say a lot about what we love. But here's the point. What is John really teaching us here? What is he teaching us today? It's not so much he's teaching about us as much as he's teaching us about God. What is he teaching us? Think of John 3:16. He wrote John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. That God, agape, loved the world. And because he really believed that, he really did love the world, what did he do? He acted on it. And he did something about it. What did he do? He gave his one and only son to die in our place. That is the good news that this gospel is. That he died in our place. We should have died on that cross, but he died in our place. He paid a debt that we could not pay. He is the substitutionary atonement for us. He acted. And since God did his part, what did he also do? He called us to respond. That whoever believes in him, and the tense here is that you would believe and keep believing and keep believing and keep believing actively, you would not perish but have everlasting life. So what's the big point here? The big point is that God acted. God did something. Not that we've loved him, right? But that he has loved us. So if we now reflect on that in our lives, do we really love others? What would that look like? Well, he spells it out for us on how Christ has loved us. You see, Christ is not only the example, he's really truly the only hope we have to understand God's kind of love. This is where I want to give you two key points this morning. Here's the first one. We know what love is because of what love has done in the past. That's good right there. That's something you could hang your hat on this week, right? That's not crazy, intelligent words. That's just the Bible teaching us. We know what love is because of what it's done in the past, of what Christ has accomplished for us in the past. By this, we know what this is. The fact that a person, a human, laid down his life in sacrifice for someone else is how we know what love is. So what Jesus did for us in the past sets the tone for us in the present. The theology you believe is the theology you will live. So now that we know what love is, John then calls out the authentic church. He calls out believers scattered due to persecution or scattered due to a watered-down faith that was kind of passing around or maybe even some false teaching, and he calls them to do something. What's the language he says? He says, we ought, we should. There should be a compulsion within us because of Christ laying down his life for us in verse 16. We ought to be moved to lay down our lives for the brothers. So we lay down our lives for each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus broadened that out to say, well, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So it's not just about the church anymore. It's about the city. It's about the state. It's about this world. We are to love, and it is more than just a four-letter word. It has to be. You might want to write that down. It has to be. Dare I say, can God be God and not do what he did for us? Not according to the scriptures. So according to the scriptures, this is part of who God is. Loving unconditionally. More than a four-letter word. It's idiotic to think that you could love someone and then do nothing about it. Even John asked, well, how does God's love remain in him? How does the love of God abide in him if he doesn't do something when he sees a need? But here's key idea number two, or key point number two. We love because we know it's more than just words. We are going to love because it is more than just words. Now, you might be thinking, and I get it, that that's a little extreme. That's a little radical. I get it. But listen to John, who had followed Jesus around for 3.5 years, and the early church. It was considered obedience for them. It was considered obedience for them to love people who maybe won't love them back. To love unconditionally, not based on emotion, which is very hard for us to do. It was obedience. It was the greatest way we could be like Jesus. Because what did Jesus do? Well, he laid down his life for us. So, my friends, if we have truly experienced the love of God and Christ, then we will be moved to love others. And not in kind of that wishy-washy, worldly, cultural, overused, abused, and sort of mixed up version of love. No, I'm talking about the way God says he loves in the scripture. And might I add, it will be a head scratcher if we don't. So let me just speak to the age in the room for a little bit, okay? If you're an elementary kid, maybe you're watching at home in your PJs, maybe you're in this room like Moses is here. There is another kid in your class or at your school who needs a friend. Who needs someone like you to actually come into their life, Sit with them at their table when they might be sitting alone. You pull your lunchbox out. You start talking about how cool his lunchbox is and your lunchbox is. And you start loving that kid. Not in a weird way, but in a friend way. And guess what? It's God's way because you're not concerned if the kid loves you back. You're not concerned if he loves you back or not. You're just doing it because you love and care about him. If you're a teenager in this room or watching online, on your phone, you know there is tons of cyberbullying going on. There is tons of kids and teenagers in the schools that hate going to school. Not because of the academics, but because of the way they get treated. What if you stood in the gap and said, I'm going to be there no matter what? Yeah, I'm going to be different. It's going to be weird, but I'm with Jesus, and Jesus calls me to this. And you start loving friends enough to tell them how God loves them. Because you actually believe it. You actually believe in heaven and hell. You're actually going to say something about it. Maybe you're in college. Maybe you're at Tech. I was at Tech just a few years ago. College can be some of the most amazing times or some of the most lonely times and broken times and mistaken times where we do stupid stuff. What could you do for someone else that would be unconditional love? How could you serve someone on campus? How could you do that? And my preference is, how could you do that through this church? David Platt, great preacher, former IMB president, said, the church is plan A and there is no plan B. Family people, adults, senior adults. When's the last time we got out of our circle and loved someone? Not because the pastor told us to, or not because some guest speaker made us feel bad and we should go do it, but because we were so moved. We were moved. We were compelled because of what Christ has done for us. We want to be a gospel-centered person in a gospel-centered church. He'll love unconditionally. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a believer in need but withholds compassion from him, how does the love of God remain in him, abide in him? This is why I'm here, to give you those 2 points, to hopefully let you know and experience the love of God, and number 3, to talk about the orphan in perhaps your backyard. The orphan down the street from where you live. That family, when you see them in Walmart, you just get that feeling like something's not right. I'm here to talk about that. You will find yourself becoming a doer of the word when you get orphan care and the love of God. Listen to the writer named James. If you want to go there with me quickly. James 1, verse 22 and following. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. When he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. But pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. He'll go on to say in chapter 2 in James, of what good is it if you say that you have faith, but you have nothing to show for it? You might even find someone, he says, that is cold and needing clothing, for example, and if you just say to them, well, hey, go in peace, stay warm, you know, be well fed, and you don't do anything about that, then your faith is dead. It's not a salvation by works. It is a salvation that shows itself in obedience. Jesus said himself, whoever welcomes a child welcomes me. There's a guy who wrote a book, as I start to close this and kind of bring this to a finish. There's a guy who wrote a book. His name's Jason Johnson. He is a pastor, a foster parent, adoptive parent. He helps churches kind of get on board with orphan care. And he said, when God sees broken people and hard places, he runs toward them. Ladies, don't I say this all the time? He does not isolate. He does not remove himself from the situation. God sees that brokenness. God sees the hard places. He sees that child being neglected because mom and dad are too strung out on drugs. And you know what God does? He runs to them. He breaks into that moment. And you know how he breaks into that moment? He breaks into that moment through you. This is an emotional subject. I get it. Because no child should ever feel left behind. No child should ever experience abuse or neglect. No one should. The Bible is full of scriptures where God says every child should be a part of a family. We ought to defend the fatherless. So it's an emotional thing. But it's okay to have emotions. Andy Stanley, the son of Charles Stanley, said, facts don't move people. Feelings do. You got to feel this with me if you're going to be moved. Have you ever felt what Jesus has done for you? Have you been so moved by it recently that he has loved you even though you didn't deserve it? That he acted on it. He did something about it. He did something for you. That's what love looks like. It's more than just a four-letter word. It's doing something. It's God doing something for me and for you. And then him calling us to do something for them. William Carey, the modern missionary movement founder, said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. So what does a guy from the 1700s and a guy from Atlanta right now have in common? They're telling us to do something. The scriptures are teaching us to do something because God already has. At the last count, as of January 1, there are 4,669 kids in foster care in Arkansas. And there are only 1,495 foster homes. I'm so glad Jesus did something for me. Are you glad he did something for you? Because perhaps, maybe, he might be calling you to foster. But we understand, not everyone's called to foster. But hopefully after hearing this today, you'll realize every Christian is called to love. You and I are called to do something. A good first step is to get info. Right now we're doing a monthly virtual informational meeting on Zoom. If you go to ArkansasFamilies.org or our Facebook page, you can sign up for that meeting. Doesn't mean you're automatically going to foster. It just means you're going to learn more. I encourage you. It's the second Tuesday of every month. Our next one is on March 9th. Triple dog dare you. Sign up for that info meeting just to come learn more. We have been pounding the pavement in Russellville, in Dardanelle, and other places, trying to figure out how we can break through and find families. We're trying to find churches like this one. This church has been so gracious to us. And I'm not saying that he didn't pay me to say that. I'm saying this for real. Y'all have been so gracious to us. You've hosted us. You've hosted a lunch so that we could talk to other pastors. You've let me come here today and put a pickle into your normal sermon, you know, just to try to get the word out. You've been very gracious, but let me tell you, it's hard. Show up on the 9th, 6 o'clock p.m. and see where God leads you next. Let's pray. Father, you have loved us unconditionally, even in a non-emotional based way. It's who you are. It's your character. It's who you're supposed to be. You loved us enough that you gave your son to die in our place. But you loved us even more that you raised your son from that dead place. And right now, Jesus sits at the right hand of you, Father. And you have loved us and said, if we will respond and believe on you, repent of our sin and turn towards you, we can know and experience the love of God. There is someone perhaps watching online or in this room who needs to be reminded today, Father, that you love them. No matter what their situation or circumstance is, that they are not too far gone. They are not too broken or in a hard place, because when you see that, you run towards it. Thank you for reminding us today that you run towards brokenness. And I pray if there's someone here today who needs to respond and begin following you actively, to start loving people because you've loved them, I pray that you would move them, compel them, to do something, to respond. And so as Pastor Chris is here, perhaps maybe someone would have the courage to come talk with him this morning, to share with God's what you're doing with them. And lastly, Lord, I pray for the 4,600 plus foster kids in Arkansas this morning who desperately need a family. Lord, we're trying to build, strengthen, and restore those families. Lord, would you speak to the individuals and families at Second Baptist here? Show them, Lord, what you want them to do. And we will trust you in this. We know that not everyone's called to foster, but every Christian is called to love, because that's who you are and that's what you've done. And perhaps even after church today, they might find us in the lobby and talk at our table. Let these awesome connected team members share with them what you're doing, God. But above all else, you've reminded us again today how much you have loved us. You have agaped us. May that move in us to respond. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You remain in an attitude of prayer, and we just want to have a time for a moment of response. Believe that the Lord has given us a strong word this morning, and here's what I'll invite you to do. Maybe the Lord touched your heart in some way, and you want to just come pray. This altar, this front is open for you. If you want to come and kneel and pray for you don't know what the Lord's calling you to do. There's no commitment by any means. Maybe you just want to come pray for kids in foster care in need in Arkansas. Maybe you want to pray for clarity, how God is moving in your heart and life. And maybe just some other things going on in your life. Maybe you just want to spend time in prayer. So I'm going to encourage you, you just remain in the attitude of prayer. If that's your heart, we're going to spend a moment. We're not going to rush through this or pass by this. But if you want to spend some time in prayer, pray right where you're at. You're welcome to come up front and pray however the Lord leads you. precious Jesus, we, Lord, we love and adore you. And God, we lift up kids all over our state and our community. Lord, I pray that you would be ever present with them. God, I pray that you would raise up Christians all over our state to engage in foster care and adoption. God, through prayer, financially, through personal involvement of foster parenting or adoption, whatever it may be, God. God, I pray, would you raise up families right here at Second Baptist, would engage, and would push back darkness, and would fight for children all over our community and our county. Lord, help us to agape our community, our state, our nation. Help us to love unconditionally with no expectation in return. And precious Jesus, I pray for anybody who heard this message today that does not yet know Christ. I pray that today they would surrender their heart and life to you, that they would be adopted into the family of God. Lord Jesus, we love, praise, and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. I pray as we sing and focus our heart, our eyes, our attention on you, God, you would be glorified. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life for abundant and free. Turn your
Turn your eyes upon
may be seated. Just want to mention a few things before we close, and I'll give the ladies with Connected Foster Care a little bit of a head start. They are going to have a table, so ladies, if y'all want to head that way, we'll dismiss in just a moment. They have a table out in the foyer area with some information there. Actually, Megan, on your way out, will you raise your hand? That way, know who you are. They're headed out. I wanted her to raise her hand because she is relocated to the Russellville area. And with Connected Foster Care and serving as a caseworker, Lord willing, of God in anticipation of God raising up families and working in our area to connect children through foster care. And I wanted to mention that because this evening at 5 o'clock, we're having a business meeting, and we're going to discuss the opportunity how real practically our church can be involved with just helping Connected Foster Care, helping Megan and in our area just work and serve in Polk County and in Russellville. So I want to make sure that you're aware of that. Please be a part of that. Go by the table, visit with them, introduce yourself to them, and gather any information again. Just being aware and knowing what's happening, what's going on in our community, and how that maybe you can't open up your home and become foster parents, but how can you be involved? How can you be a prayer partner? How can you support financially? How can you be their biggest cheerleader or whatever it is? How is it we can actively support and encourage as God cares for those children in and around our community and across our state? So I want to make you aware of that. Again, hope you'll be back tonight, 5 o'clock, for our regular monthly business meeting. We will have an opportunity to give tithes and offerings as we dismiss. And let me just say that it has been incredible to watch, just as we send out weekly reports, how you have continued to give and support financially. And so thank God for that as you're faithful in your giving. And look forward to the days ahead as God honors that, okay? Aaron, brother, thank you so much, and appreciate you and your family being here. Thank you, staff from Connected Foster Care. Appreciate y'all being here with us today, okay? All right, let me pray. Make sure to say hi to them, and Lord willing, see you back tonight or next week, okay? God, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together, to worship you, to serve you. I pray, God, that we would respond to the call to action, however it is you have led this morning. I pray you bless the tithes and offerings as we give sacrificially unto you, Lord Jesus. Go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you. Help us to love people unconditionally this week. And Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks.